Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and the political events. Today, Monday, July 8th, 2013, I want to thank everyone for joining us this afternoon. It's going to be a great program, lots of information today. But first, before we get started, let's talk about the markets today. So we had a nice little pop in gold today, a little bit of pressure on the dollar. You know, nothing to write home about. But as I always say, we'll take whatever little gains we can get. At this point, we have gold up about $13. At $1,237. Silver's up 18 cents today at $19.18. Platinum was up $37 at $13.65, along with palladium up 14 at $7.01. The USDX today trading down slightly, down 0.28 at 84.17, along with a little bit of pressure on oil, no big deal, down 40 at 102.82. And the paper markets today, somewhere I will find my paper market numbers today. I know the Dow was up once again. The S&P had hit, I believe, a new high today. Yeah, the Dow at 15,225, up 90 points. NASDAQ up 5 at 34.84, along with S&P up 8 at 16.40. I guess corporate earnings was the what they are getting so giddy about with the higher numbers. 10-year yield, that softened a little bit. It was at 2.70, now 2.64 on the 10-year yield. And a lot of other things going on with the markets. But we'll be talking about those here in just a bit. First, I want to say good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Wherever you might be. Hello.
Oh, I'm in Oregon.
Oregon.
Yep.
Yep.
That's, you can say yep in Oregon. It's still kind of country up here.
Well, I guess I said yep because, you know, you being from Texas, Governor Perry, he's not going to seek re-election in Texas. We got lots of listeners.
Well, that's going to give
Texas
me a shot then, maybe, huh?
There you go. There you go. But he has been the longest serving governor in Texas history. And, of course, we all remember some of his things that he muttered, his oops, during the 2011 presidential debate. Of course, he couldn't remember the all of the three federal departments that he was going to close. And I guess he was also being interviewed back in 2000, I don't know what, 2005, 2004, where he thought he was off camera. You always have to be careful of those live mics, you know?
Yep.
You can always get caught, and he said, adios, mofo. And he claimed, but he said it also became kind of a Texas catchphrase. Was that true?
Oh, I don't know. People have been saying that for so long. I don't know that that's just Texas, but some people may think of it that way. I imagine Texans tend to think everything is Texas. They're a little like communists in their own way. You know how the former Soviet Union used to claim to have invented just about everything that's ever been invented?
Mm-hmm.
You may remember that. Texans, in a similar way, Texans, hey, everything, it's all about Texas. And I like Texas, right? Texas is a special place. And really, a lot of things are. Not everything's about Texas, but a lot of things are. It really is a special place. I have great affection for Texas. Lived there for, I don't know, 30 years or thereabouts. Yeah, 30 years.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know, he is terribly conservative. He certainly is battling the war on abortion down there in Texas. And he won the seat in back in 1984 in the legislature. He was a Democrat. And there was a lot of Democrats down in Texas. And it changed over the year, and so did Perry. And do you think perhaps we should have supported... Do you think if he would have gotten more support in the presidential debates and so forth over Ron Paul, he would have had a chance of being elected?
Well, he had a better chance than I did, I'll give you that, but I don't think Perry was up to the job. I think Perry is something of a pitch man. The governor, the way Texas is structured...
But isn't that all politicians, though? Aren't they all pitchmen?
Yeah, but he's a pitchman in the sense that Colonel Sanders was a pitchman. Mm. All right, he's a front man, he's an image, and the rest of that sort of thing. And he hasn't cooked a chicken in so long, I don't know that he knows the difference between a wing and a neck. He was there, you know, but he's from Hollywood casting. He's from Central casting, in my opinion. And he never really had the substance, the commitment. He talked the game when it was in his interest to talk it, but... Yeah, I was never impressed.
And I didn't mean to interrupt, but you were talking about you were heading into Texas.
So. Well, Texas is a special place. It's the only place I've ever been where there is a kind of feeling down there that's different, right? Texas, it's not a state, it's a nation. All right, or at least a nation state. It's kind of crossed between a state and a nation. It's not quite a state of the union. It's not quite a nation. It's kind of on the borderline between both of them. But it could go either way at any time. And Texas sits there and, hey, they don't need the rest of the country. You know, that's just part of the Texas mentality. And there are some beautiful places down in Texas, just extraordinary communities. I've been down to... there was a couple of dance halls, and I'm trying to think of the name of them, down in the Texas Hill Country, and I'm sure there are others. But we went out to the Quihee Gun Club, I believe that was the name of it, down in Texas Hill Country. And this gun club is located out, I mean, it's in the boonies. You got to drive 15, 20 miles, essentially practically on country roads to get to it. And when you get there, there's this huge old barn that was built in the late 1800s. And they have dances there, you know, on the weekends. And people come around and entire families show up. And it's not a situation where the kids are embarrassed to be dancing on the same dance floor with the parents. Huh? There is real community. It's back in rural Texas. It's not the big city and the rest of that. It's not close to a big city. But people have a sense of community down there. And the first time I was there, it was like visiting 1950s America. It was really something amazing to see. It was as if I had stumbled into a movie where they're making a movie about 1950s America, and I was looking for the cameras because this couldn't be real. But it was. And hard to explain, but that's real Texas. That was real Texas, real country, good people, families, community. And I've seen the same thing in another one of these dance halls. And that no air conditioning, you understand. They just opened the windows on the side of the barn. This is in the Texas summer, and I guarantee you it's still warm late at night. And there's no air conditioning. You can buy a beer if you want and the rest of that sort of thing, a few drinks, whatever, but no air conditioning, and people flock in. It was really a wonderful thing to see. Real Americana, and there's places like that throughout Texas. It's not necessarily the big cities. I won't argue that the big cities are that way, but there is still some real Texas down there, real Texans. I'll give you a story for what it's worth. A friend of mine, when I was living in Utah, not even a friend, acquaintance, I was living in Utopia, Texas, which is in the hill country, little town, about 150 people. And one of the guys that I knew, he was telling a story about when he had one of his children. He was living down there, and he and his wife gave birth, and they had a baby. And he went out, and he was talking. He said, "Oh, we've got another Texan born." And one of the people down there said, "That ain't, boy, your son ain't going to be another Texan until you got three generations buried in that graveyard out there." Huh? You might live in Texas, but you're not a Texan until you've got a couple of generations behind you. I've been there for 30 years, and I would like to be a Texan, but I'm not. All right? And that disturbs me a little bit at times, but it's just, I would like to have been born in Texas, say the truth. I would take a great deal of pride. I take a great deal of pride in living there for 30 years, but still, not a real Texan. Real Texan, you got to be born there. You got to have a couple of generations before you. And that's the way people think about it. So what else have we got, Melody?
Well, we got a question in from, well, we'll save the, you want the question now? Well, we got 10 minutes till we go to the break. You talk about, before we go to the question, we talk about Texans. And I saw an article today where the number of Chinese that are buying real estate is really just exploding. In fact, they take up almost of all this real estate that is being sold, and we know a lot of it is being sold as investments. They're taking up almost 20% of that to the foreign buyers of 20%, and that's quite a number. And I just thought that was...
Do you know why that's happening?
Yeah, because they got the money. And
well,
our dollars. Yeah,
because
their dollar.
We've been running
yeah.
this huge trade deficit for yeah. years, and they've got to do something with all those dollars. They're swirling around overseas. It seemed, we'll run trade deficits. Seemed like such a great idea. Now those dollars are going to come back. And when they do, foreign companies are going to buy American properties. They're going to buy homes. They're going to buy industries. They're going to buy companies. They're going to buy natural resources. And we've been laying the foundation for that for probably 30, 40 years. And now what's going to happen? You know? And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's one of those consequences that people should have been able to think about and should have seen and said, do we really want to sell our homes to foreign investors? Do we really want to sell our businesses and industries? Is that a good thing? It was a consideration we should have thought about at the time we were running those big trade deficits. It's a consideration we should have thought about when the government decided that the dollar would be the world reserve currency. And everyone would hold dollars as if they were good as gold. Because if the day ever came when people began to realize that the dollar was not as good as gold, they'd want to get rid of their dollars. And if they wanted to get rid of them, you might not be able to get rid of your dollars easily in China. Not like you can go out on the street and buy yourself a new rickshaw with dollars. I'm sure you can, but you'll probably pay a premium with them. People at the time are not as enthusiastic about dollars as they were 10 years ago. Well, where can you still sell your dollars, get rid of them, and get something tangible in return? And maybe even at a bargain basement price, given that the United States is in a recession, and the answer is here in the United States. So, you know, we're seeing this in part. They're buying those homes because the people that are buying these American homes from China, for example, for whatever reason, they perhaps have enough gold, or they've looked to diversify, looked for something other than gold, and so they're buying American property. So, unintended consequences or just irresponsibility on the part of our government, where they went ahead and allowed us to have the world reserve currency, thinking they'd be able to hold this thing together forever. And the truth is, no one can. And therefore, now price is paid. We had a good ride for a while. We took advantage of a lot of foreign countries. We were able to import things that we actually didn't pay for, at least not yet. The result is they're sitting on $2 trillion overseas, maybe more. I don't know what the total. But now the payment is going to come due. And as a result, they're going to be buying American property. And I'm sure before we're done, there will be people who will think that wasn't necessarily our best deal. We were ill-advised to become the world reserve currency.
Well, today also, Greece has passed another hurdle. They've got Greece's creditors approved the release of, in dollars, $8.7 billion over the next few months. And, of course, the country needs to stick to the agenda of cuts and reforms. In order for the return of the bailout loans. And their unemployment, I believe, is peaking up around 27%, has spiraled to above 27%, and they still must put like 12,000 civil servants on leave by the end of the year, and which involve school security, police, and so they're a long way away from having their problems fixed, but it seems as long as they continue to do what they're told, like good little boys and girls, they'll get their money so they can at least continue to function.
Goof off.
Yeah.
Goof off.
Yeah.
And avoid reality.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening around the world to some extent.
Yeah.
We are getting closer and closer to a moment when we can't avoid reality. Bills are coming due. Right? And in the end, the bills won't be paid, can't be paid, not the majority of them. And it's going to be a difficult situation. You mentioned that Greece has unemployment, did you say 27%?
Above 27%.
Do you think that's pretty bad?
I'm sure it's going to get a lot worse.
Well, here's something from shadowstats.com. A recent report by John Williams at shadowstats.com. According to the government, the unemployment rate is 7.6%, unless you factor in some of the unemployed who've stopped working. And there's another, that's the unemployment number three. Unemployment number six, the government will admit if you look closer, it's 14.3%. But according to John Williams, real unemployment, people who don't have jobs, people that are not merely recently unemployed but have stopped even looking for jobs, they've been unemployed so long, real unemployment in this country is 23.4%, which is not far removed from Greece. And we sit back and say, oh, Greece, gee, it's a terrible situation. Well, we are not far removed from the magnitude of Greece's problem, and we are just a little bit further behind on the timeline. Whatever problems Greece has had, we haven't had yet. And I'm speaking of riots, for example, and demonstrations and so on. We haven't had those. We're like a year, 2 years behind. But in terms of the magnitude of our economic problems, if John Williams is correct at shadowstats.com, we are just barely behind Greece right now with 23% unemployment while they have 27%. So things do not, do not bode well. They simply, we'll watch and see what the consequences are. But what else have we got? I guess it's time for us to take another break, Melody. We'll talk.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. We're back on the program, or I am anyway. I was just briefly disconnected right at the point of the beginning of this break. For whatever reason, the electrical connection went down. It was down for, I don't think it was more than maybe 5 seconds or so, but 10 at the most. And in any case, we're back and apparently functioning. On a technical basis, we're functioning technically, we're okay. We'll watch and see if we're functioning the rest of the way all right, particularly Frank, the producer. Got to keep an eye on Frank at all times. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody has not told me. Is it yes or is it no, Melody?
No, not today. But not I do today. Want to encourage the folks to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Make sure you folks visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to the archives. We archive the programs. We go back, I don't know, a year or so. We didn't put all the years and years and years, you know, we're going to keep it up on a year basis so you can go back. And, I also wanted to make an announcement tonight for the Texas listeners. There is a new program. So if you're listening to this program in Texas, there is a new host, Raleigh James. She's starting at 11 p.m. Eastern time in Texas, and I'm
Texas
trying to.
Texas doesn't have Eastern time.
And I'm
Texas.
She'll
Texas
be there.
Central time, or more properly, Texas time. They call it Central, but what they mean is Texas time. That's what Central
is.
Well,
10 o'clock Central and 11 o'clock Eastern, she'll be in Texas. And I'm trying to recall the call letters of the station.
KBXD.
KBXD. Thank you. So, folks, make sure you tune in and get started there. We have a question coming in. Do you really believe gold is manipulated? Why would the Fed's lower gold prices? India and China will drain the West of all its gold at these fire sale prices. There's got to be reasons. Maybe they're telling us they are lowering the price, or they will dump dollars and bonds and so forth.
Is that the question?
That's the questions.
Well, first question is, do I believe the price of gold is being manipulated? And the answer is absolutely yes. And anyone who doubts that market manipulation takes place only need to refer to the plunge protection team created by President Reagan back in the 1980s. And it was designed to prevent stock markets from falling more than, I think, 500 points in a day. I don't remember what the limit is. But they had a crash in September of, I'm not sure, I don't remember the year anymore, but they had September, October. They had a sudden crash and the markets fell by, I think, over 1,000 points. Struck fear into the heart of the whole system. And so they enacted a law where they would create what came to be called the plunge protection team. And in the event that the stock market started to fall dramatically at any given point, then this plunge protection team would move in and stop the plunge. Well, what does that mean? It means they are manipulating the market. All right? They are manipulating the market by law to prevent the free market from knocking the market down when it feels like knocking it down. Once you understand that they have been manipulating the market to stop sudden drops in the stock market, and they've been doing it for probably close to 30 years right now, 20 for sure, how much of a stretch is it to sit back and say, gee, I wonder if they're manipulating the gold market to knock gold down? If they're willing to manipulate the market to hold stocks up, I guarantee they are willing to manipulate the market to knock gold down. There's no question that market manipulation takes place. Plunge protection team is proof. What was the second part of the question? Why are we doing this? Why are we knocking gold down? And that is a very good question. Because I have thought for years that the price of gold had to go up because government has to inflate the currency. The debt is so great, the national debt is so great, that it can never be repaid in full. And the only way government can effectively reduce that debt is by means of inflation. They say the debt's $16 trillion. John Williams says it's closer to $90 trillion. Congressional budget says, budget office, including unfunded liabilities, says the national debt is over $200 trillion. More than likely, Williams and the Congressional Budget Office are right, and the Fed and the Obama administration is wrong on this matter. But whatever the real number is, it's too great to be repaid. How do you get out from under it? Let's say the debt is $90 trillion. I might have said billion a moment ago. I meant to say trillion. Let's say the national debt is, as John Williams calculates, close to $90 trillion. All right, if we can cause significant inflation, the government will still repay $90 trillion, but those dollars might only be worth 50 cents as compared to their value when the government negotiated the loans and they borrowed the $90 trillion. By means of inflation, government can rob its creditors. By means of inflation, government can cut the real size as measured in purchasing power of the national debt. Government has wanted inflation throughout my lifetime. We have been in a persistent. They've told us that the Federal Reserve is here to fight inflation. No, they're not. They're here to cause inflation, although modest inflation has always been their objective. What they didn't want was deflation, because deflation means instead of robbing their creditors, they would actually pay their creditors back more in terms of purchasing power than the creditors actually loaned. Government hates deflation because it means they enrich the creditors. Government loves inflation because it enriches the borrowers. And government is the biggest borrower and the biggest debtor in the world. So they want inflation. That meant to me that although the price of gold was restricted, manipulated, it was still rising at an average of 18-20% a year. And I was more than happy with that. But for the last 20 months, it has that hasn't worked. So why are they not inflating and allowing the price of gold to rise? And it's a very good question. I can't imagine an answer that is beneficial to the American people. This is a ripoff and a robbery and maybe even treason. It's helping gold to flow from this country to foreign countries. Before we're done, we're going to need that gold. If the dollar collapses, what will we have for assets to rebuild this economy? Where will our capital be if our gold has gone to China or wherever? So why are they doing it? I don't know, but it is irrational unless they have an agenda that is contrary to the best interest of the American people.
Well, Al, we often talk about confidence, and this isn't 100% answer to your question, but it's all about confidence. And I believe you can't have this high degree of confidence when you have high gold prices. You cannot have a recovery in an economy with high gold prices. Gold is still the canary in the mine that shows of the situation. Is it livable? Or people, you know, is the bird alive? Is the canary alive? Just as the Dow is a symbol of things are getting better. And as long as you have that sustained at a level and you have gold at a level, it creates confidence. The confidence number's been released and, you know, it's extremely high. That is what keeps the system flowing. That is what keeps the money being lent. And that's how it all works. And you wouldn't think that something like confidence keeps it going. I mean, you know, and it does, and, you know, possible just that is a little bit of part of the equation.
Well, what they're talking about is the government is trying to strangle the canary.
Exactly.
Right, or muzzle the canary,
yep.
Or whatever. I'm not sure. I guess the accurate analysis would be they've got a recording.
Mm-hmm.
Is it live or is it Memorex? That's what's going on. We have a Memorex canary in our coal mine who's singing away, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is the canary is not being allowed to reflect reality. And they are giving us false numbers. The fact that gold prices are manipulating, stock prices are manipulated. It indicates there is something wrong, something at minimum that is so fragile about this economy that the government feels compelled to lie on a broad scale. Again, we've harped on it a bunch of times, but what is the real inflation rate? What's the real unemployment rate? What is the real price of gold? I don't think anyone seriously thinks that we're getting to the truth on these economic indicators, and it's simply evidence that government, the only way they can hold this economy together is with lies. This tells us that real confidence, right? Not real confidence is not the same as the illusory confidence that's being created by these false numbers. And government can't generate real confidence, and therefore they have to lie. They have to generate a kind of artificial confidence. And the fact, you know, we can debate the significance of the numbers. What is the real, how many people were unemployed this in June? Is the number up, down, or more people employed, unemployed? Where are we going? We can debate the numbers, but you can't debate that there are lies that are routinely being emitted by government concerning the economy. And the reason they lie is because the system is increasingly fragile, it's arguably fraudulent, and it's probably coming closer and closer to a possible collapse. That's the first answer. Why do they lie? And the second answer is because government is incapable of solving our fundamental economic problems. They haven't been able to really resolve the problem of unemployment. If Williams is right and we've got 23%, what has government done? They can't get it. They can't solve the problem. So they lie. And they say, no, we don't have 23%. We have 7.6%. See? So take confidence. Well, the lie is evidence that the government, they can create illusions, but they are no longer really in control. If they were really in control, then the unemployment rate would truly be 7.6%. And John Williams would not claim that it's actually closer to 23%. Huh? There wouldn't be this kind of conflict. So the lies, that's what's significant to me. I don't know what the real numbers are. I hear the reports. I don't know what it really is, but I'm sure that government is lying on a regular basis. And if this economy is primarily based on lies, it is lie-dependent in order to hold together, how much longer can the economy be expected to hold together? It's just got to be cause for significant concern. And the idea that government can, they just tell enough lies, they're going to be able to put us all back to work. It's all we need for prosperity in this country is more better lies. You see? How can that possibly be? Just tells you we're going to see some big trouble. No. What else have we got?
You know, we're talking about the employment number on Friday. Walmart being, you know, America's first largest employer. The second largest employer is Kelly Services. And that's a temporary work provider.
Mm-hmm.
And you have part-time jobs that are at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. With 28 million Americans now working part-time. And now there's a record number of Americans with temporary jobs. And what's interesting, you gave an example on Friday about the one guy hiring, you know, 25 people on a part-time basis, and they can go across the street and, you know, work for that company, and they would shift those employees back to the other company. And I actually saw a...
We're taking full-time jobs. We've got 25 full-time workers. You fire your full-time workers. They go to work across the street, and the government claims it's created 25 new part-time jobs. They've created 25 new jobs. This is a company across the street. They add 50. They send theirs across the street. They fire them at full-time, but they go to work part-time for the other company. The net result is government claims to have created 50 jobs, and in fact, all they've really done is put people out of work.
But my point I was trying to make, Al, is I actually saw a comment from an employer who says they are sharing employees and doing exactly that. It's called sharing the employees.
See what I'm going to do?
Same type of business? Yeah.
We're going to open the psychic hotline here. See? We've got people. I come up with these ideas. People, how do you come up with these ideas? Well, I get my little crystal ball. I put my little Swami hat on and the rest of that sort of thing. This is evidence. Got that psychic thing going on. What else do we have going on, Melody? We've got about 40 seconds.
We also have 101 million who are getting food aid from the government. And my computer is acting weird because everything just disappeared. But again, if we weren't giving aid to these folks, look what type of situation it would be visible.
I understand.
Right
and
now,
how long can it persist?
How long can it persist?
How much longer can government continue to provide free food to 100 million people? How long can that continue? I mean, sooner or later, somebody's got to run out. There's going to be problems. We have drought throughout the western half of the United States for a couple of years. There's going to be a problem, and when we get to that problem, it's likely to be a very serious problem. Right now, we're going to face the problem of commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Ask here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Here's an interesting excerpt from an article that just recently appeared in Forbes magazine. The title of the article is "Gold Really Worth $40,000 per Ounce?" And I'm just going to quote what couple of sentences here. Part of a paragraph. According to a report released by the Federal Reserve last week, the M2 money supply is about $10.5 trillion. The amount of gold held by the United States, and I would say allegedly held, that's claimed. It's like they claim the unemployment rate is only 7.6%, the inflation rate is, you know, 2 or 3%, and the numbers are they make claims. It doesn't mean the claims are true. Nevertheless, the amount of gold claimed by the United States is approximately 260 million ounces. Doing the math, that translates into $40,000 per ounce. Now, this is too difficult to even comprehend, but whatever the real numbers might be, it seems that the real price of gold is far above the current $1,200 area where gold is trading. We think gold will be moving up, and we've positioned our clients accordingly. And again, this is an article from Forbes magazine. Now, I don't anticipate seeing $40,000 gold unless I exceed my life expectancy by some, I don't know, I'd probably have to live an extra 5 years, Melody.
Thanks.
See $40,000 an ounce gold. But it illustrates a point. If the dollar had to be backed by gold, all right, that's all they're saying is you take the number of dollars that the government has and you divide it by the amount of gold that the government has and you come up with a price per ounce, and it's $40,000 per ounce. Now, what does that prove? Doesn't prove anything. It's interesting information. That's what it basically is. But it's the kind of thing that proves this. Price of gold is going up. All right, has to go up, going to go up. Only question is when. What else, Melody?
Well, and it does show you how underpriced that it is. And folks, you got to keep everything in perspective. I talked to a woman today. Somebody was recommending to her that she buy silver, and she was going to put like $25,000, not a big number at all, into silver. And this person was telling her that if she did that, she'd get $1 million back off of this investment. I was like, folks, you know, keep everything in perspective. Anybody who's out there saying these things, you got to be careful. And certainly she'd be better off having it than paper, but she's not going to turn that $23,000, $25,000 into $1 million. But it might, who knows, it might purchase that amount. It might purchase that amount, but anyway. Here's a question. Mark Faber stated that gold is probably at its lowest and that he is still buying. What is your comment on his view?
I agree with him 100%. I think we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks on the program. There is evidence that the price of gold has now fallen below the average production price. In fact, I've got an article here that deals with this. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Goldfield's chief executive officer, Nick Holland, was quoted as saying bullion must rise to $1,500 an ounce for gold mining industry to be sustainable. The industry is not sustainable at $1,230 an ounce, which is where the price of gold is at the moment. Comments came as analysts began commenting on the possibility of mine closures, as gold producers can't keep mines going while losing money. All right. The problem we've got is the problem the miners have, the gold mining companies have, is average cost of producing gold is $1,300 an ounce. They're selling it for $1,250 or $1,235 or whatever it is right now. Yeah, they can't stay in business. If the mines close down, it has to mean that the supply of gold is restricted. It has to mean that the price of gold is going up. You can't sell gold on a long-term basis for less than it costs to produce it. All right? We've seen the bottom. The bottom, in my opinion, the bottom is in the neighborhood of $1,200. All right? I don't believe it's going to go below that. I'm not going to say that it couldn't briefly dip below $1,200, but I'm saying that I think we've seen the bottom. I agree with Faber. We've seen the bottom. And from here on, now the question is gold going to bounce off the bottom and start going up? Or is it going to bounce along the bottom and stay in the range of $1,200, $1,225, $1,250, maybe up to $1,300, bounce up along and just move sideways for, who knows, a couple of months? What's going to happen, Melody? Are we going to move sideways in the price of gold, or are we due to go back up?
Well, I think we'll go back up this fall. You had the summer doldrums during the summer, and I think we'll pretty much trade. Hopefully we'll get up above 1,300 here pretty soon. However, you look at things in the Middle East, and you look at things, you know, any one of those things could explode. Oil could go higher, and of course, gold could go much higher, too. So, you know, if no event happens, I think you'll trade a little bit sideways, and I think this fall you're going to see things begin to fall apart. That's how I view it. It's too hard to say one way or another because there's always something that's out of our control. And it really is true. You know, when we talk about the price of gold being manipulated down, and we got a question in, and he sent us some articles that we'll review and talk about it on the next program. But it is true. I also do believe the central banks did have to push the price of gold down because I also do believe that it meant that you could have had a couple of the trading houses being taken down because they couldn't deliver. So very, very important. And you know, multiple reasons. We'll talk a little bit about that on the next program, unless you wanted to comment on that now.
No, I don't need to at this point. We can move on with if you've got any more questions you want to answer, you want to consider at the moment, or you want to.
Yes, we do have questions. And one of his questions, he is, how is it that gold can be bought only here in the U.S. for such low prices? He would think that you would have tons of orders from foreign buyers from a particular large Asian country where the price has $1,000 markup in their country. How could this be?
The only way, I don't know about $1,000 markup, but I know that a premium price is being paid in Asia on physical gold. All right? And they say, well, it's a premium. No, it's not. It's a reflection that the price of physical gold is something considerably higher than the price of paper gold, and that's in fact what's being reported by COMEX and the Western markets. We don't get the price you hear that the price of gold today is $1,235 an ounce. That's the price of paper gold. And people have been fooled into believing that the price of paper gold and the price of physical gold are always the same. But they talk about, when they are referring to premiums in Asia, they're not talking, there's not a premium on gold. They are selling gold for a free market price for physical gold without reflection to the paper gold price back here in the United States. That's what's happening. We're trying to maintain the lie in this country. We're trying to maintain the lie that the paper gold and the physical gold should have the same price. And we're going to pay for that lie. We're paying for it right now where gold is being moved from this country to Asia. And the day is coming when we're going to need that gold. We go into a serious economic collapse, we will need that gold as capital to rebuild our economy. We won't be able to borrow money. I mean, if a worst case scenario, if it really goes south, guess who can't borrow money? Federal government. They will be cut off. Even now, the only one that really loans them any money is the Federal Reserve. They won't have access to credit. It means the only way you're going to have capital to rebuild the economy, you've got to have savings. And the savings denominated in paper dollars won't be worth anything. The savings that will be necessary to rebuild will be gold, and it may be that our government has sold that gold to foreign countries. They appear to be in the process of doing so. We may get a real audit one of these days. I wouldn't bet on it, but if we do, I wouldn't be surprised if we hear cries for trials for treason. Government is selling your gold in order to maintain the illusion that the Federal Reserve's paper dollars are still valuable. Maybe a price to be paid. What's next, Melody?
Over the weekend, we came 4 votes away from the United States Senate giving our constitutional rights over to the United Nations. In a 53-46 vote, the Senate narrowly passed a measure that will stop the U.S. from entering into the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty. There were 44 Democrats and 2 independent. What say you that we came 4 votes short of passing?
Well, I don't know if this problem with the UN treaty was as bad as some people expect or fear. I know it could be, probably wasn't. But the fact that there were 44 people in the Senate, the fact that it was that close, it gives you a good indication that we have people in the Senate that are not concerned about America's rights. They're not concerned about American sovereignty. They're certainly not concerned. They are critical of the right to keep and bear arms. It's, you know, we live in interesting times, and there is that close vote probably reflects how the United States is divided at this time. A lot of people want to keep the right to keep and bear, want to maintain the right to keep and bear arms. A lot of people don't. They want to get rid of it. We are not functioning as a cohesive nation. We are divided on this issue, and the divisions are substantial. So it's up to everyone. If you want the right to keep and bear arms, you better be prepared to act out. And I mean, anytime anyone gets close to it, they say, oh, we're going to take that away. It's for public safety or whatever. You better jump up, scream and shout and do what you can, because there are forces at work in government that really want to take those rights away. And they're powerful, and they will not be deterred. They're not going to forget. They're not going to relax. They can be stopped briefly, but I guarantee they'll be back next year and the year after that and the year after that. And the only thing that's going to hold them at bay is the sure and certain knowledge that some people in this country will vote out. We will eject any congressman, any party, any president that supports gun control, and to the extent that it deprives us the right to keep and bear arms. If we stay active, we can hold on to our rights. If we don't, we won't. People want your rights. If you're willing to sit there and give them away while you're watching TV, I guarantee you're going to lose them. It's up to you to protect your rights. What else, Melody?
What do you see that may develop from the present conditions in Egypt? Over 50 people were killed yesterday, and the chaos is increasing. U.S. government is very quiet about the situation. Is Israel involved in this matter?
Of course Israel is involved. I mean, they're involved if only as spectators, but it's virtually certain that after Mubarak was bounced out of office, Egypt under Mubarak had been the cornerstone of peace in the Middle East. As long as Egypt was not ready to attack Israel, there was no serious, things were relatively calm. There were endless skirmishes, but things were relatively calm. Once Mubarak was taken out and Egypt could no longer be depended on to resist the impulse to attack Israel, I guarantee Israel has been doing a divide-and-conquer strategy. They have to be. If I were a Jew, if I were living in Israel, I'd be doing that. It's inconceivable that they're not. So are they involved? Yeah. What's going to happen regardless to Egypt? I think they're going into incredible chaos, probably civil war. Is it going to happen this year? I don't know. Might be a couple of years before the stuff hits the fan, really hits the fan. But it's going to happen because they have so many intrinsic and major problems that no one can solve those problems. I don't care who you elect. I don't care if you elect Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood. They can't handle it. And the military, they're not going to be able to handle the problems. This is going to end with gunfire. And there's going to be big-time gunfire. Civil war. Nation might even fragment. Hard to say. They could have the kind of instability we saw in the aftermath of the collapse of the Soviet Union. Hard to say where this is going to go, but it's not going to be fun for Egyptian people. This is going to be a terrible time, and it's only going to get worse. And as it does, you got that Suez Canal sitting there. You know, if something happens to the canal, price of oil is almost certainly going up.
Quick question. We talked about the $101 million in the soup lines. Not only would that be disturbing, would that be a disturbing sign, but if the government cut that spending, $114 billion, what would that do to the food companies and grocery stores?
Well, whatever's going to happen to the food companies and the grocery stores, the reason people might be in food lines or in soup lines is because they can't afford to buy groceries otherwise. I guarantee under those circumstances, everyone is going to be hurting for business. Right? We're describing a depression. We're describing a time that's going to be difficult for everyone. So, tough for everyone. You know, right now, we're out of time, though. And therefore, want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. I'll be back tomorrow with Roger Sales. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.